for the Sunshine State.
It's time for another Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen special. Now here's Deidre.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Cat with Deidre. This is Miss Hollywood, Miss Florida Reporter Lifetime on Hollywood Connections with Don Reese. And tonight I have an amazing guest, Rosalind Franklin. How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and you are an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, and proud cancer survivor. You're also known as a master storyteller. So can you just tell us more about yourself and about your book, Meant to Be, which is about the incredible story of your parents and how they're survivors of very difficult situations, such as being a prisoner of war and a Holocaust survivor?
Sure, absolutely. It is an amazing story about my mother, who survived the concentration camps in Nazi Europe. She was 15 years old when she was taken from her home in the Netherlands. That's where she was born and raised. And the Nazis came and took her and her family and took them away, and she was put into a number of concentration camps, and she lost both her parents, her two brothers, and an older sister. She watched them all being taken away, and they were all killed in the war. And my father was born in what's now known as Indonesia, and at 18, he was drafted into the Dutch Navy Air Force, and he was captured by the Japanese and became a prisoner of war, and he survived the Nagasaki atomic bomb. So can you imagine that? These two people, continents apart, suffering unimaginable cruelty by the people who captured them. And they survived, Deidre. They survived all of that to find each other and have a beautiful, everlasting love after that. Is that not incredible?
That's amazing. And I know that there's other different things that they also survived, like your father survived almost getting his foot chopped off. And he was able to survive the atomic bomb because he was working underground in the coal mines. And your mom was able to save some twins from being experimented on. Can you tell us more about those stories?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, these are things that happened that we can't even imagine. I mean, yes, my dad, that's why the book is called Meant to Be, because that's something my parents instilled in me from when I was really young. Things in life happen for a reason. Things are meant to be, even when we don't understand them and we want to know why and we just can't ask why. And one of the things that, like for my dad, one of the many miracles, these miracles that were meant to be, was, as you said, my dad volunteered to work in the coal mines about 3 months before the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. And it saved his life, because when the bomb was dropped in Nagasaki, my dad was hundreds of meters underground in the coal mines. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow.
That, you know, he made that choice that a lot of people would never have made because it was one of the most dangerous jobs. But he was led to make that decision. And if he didn't make that decision, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love how things are meant to be. Things work out. There's a purpose for everything, and your parents survived horrific events, and you were born, and now you get to go and you speak to many other people about your story and things you've been through. So how would you say your parents' story has transformed your life personally?
Well, for me personally, I mean, my parents were incredible role models for me, and that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I do the speaking that I do, and that's why my book is being made into a movie, which is very exciting, is to inspire people, is because my parents are incredible role models for all of us in terms of resiliency, in terms of overcoming adversity, in terms of perseverance. I speak at a lot of schools. I have a passion speaking for young people because, you know, I'm sure you're aware, the rate of teenage depression and suicide is on the rise. I mean, it's a crisis situation. And kids need to hear this story. They need to know, like, that what things that people like my parents went through, and that they were able to create a beautiful life afterwards, that they were able to have joy and love and goodness in their life after witnessing and experiencing the worst of humanity firsthand. Kids need to hear that. And when they hear me speak and they hear the stories, they're riveted and inspired. It's an amazing thing to watch how they take it in, how much they need to hear it.
Right, especially now, as we've been in this pandemic for 2 years, and I know kids have gone through very difficult times, and depression is going up, so the rates are going higher. So when they hear your story, I'm sure they're super inspired to persevere and keep moving forward. And it's amazing to have great role models that you grew up with. What are your fondest memories of growing up with your parents? Like, what are some of the lessons they taught you, or how were they just as parents?
You know, I feel very blessed. And I don't take it for granted, because I know that, you know, not everybody had the same experience that I did. But my parents had such an appreciation and value for life, for all the good things that life has to offer, that they instilled that in me, like never to take anything for granted. One of the things I mention in my book, actually, is I remember my mother literally standing me in front of an open fridge one day, and she, you know, the fridge is full of food, and she said to me, "Look, sweetheart, we are rich."
Mm-hmm.
And that had such a meaning for me. Obviously, I remember it for all these years. I was just a little kid, but I think about that it's so easy for, you know, people to, oh, there's nothing in the fridge, there's nothing to eat, and complain or whatever. But, you know, if you have a fridge full of food, you are doing better than a lot of people in this world, and it's something to be grateful for, and we take for granted. So my parents taught me about appreciation, how to appreciate the smallest things, and they also taught me how to appreciate people who are different than I am, you know, who maybe don't look like me, who don't share the same beliefs as me, who are different in any way. And about treating people with dignity and respect, regardless of the color of their skin, what religion they are, where they come from, you know, what clothes they wear, that kind of thing. Like, people are so quick to judge other people based on things without even knowing the actual person. They just judge people. And my parents taught me not to do that. They taught me also, just because that's how they were. So they were role models in that way too.
Yeah, and that's really important. We definitely need role models like that. Everyone loves someone who's so kind and so loving. Like, people remember how you make them feel. So that's super important, that to just love people and just accept people and continue to be a light in this world. There's so many dark things going on. And so what do you think your parents would say to young people today going through this difficult pandemic, as they've survived the Holocaust and atomic bombs and things like that?
I think my parents would really try to encourage them to believe in their strength, to be resilient, and to keep their hope alive. I think that was such a big thing of what kept my parents going, is they never gave up hope. And a big piece of never giving up hope is knowing that you have a purpose. There is a purpose for everyone to be here, and to know you have a purpose, and to keep that hope alive and just persevere when things don't go your way. You know, sometimes life is like that. There's ups and downs for everybody, and you have to learn. You have to learn to have the courage to get through the downs, because it just makes you really appreciate the good times even that much more. That's a big part of it. And I want to mention that next week, actually, I'm speaking on Zoom for an event. There's it's the United Nations World Interfaith Harmony Week, and I'm a guest speaker on February 1st. So I'd love if you give me a chance to give that website because people can register for it. And it's all about interfaith unity, that people, again, treating each other with dignity and respect. But I'll be giving a presentation and telling a lot more about the story of my book. So that's I can give you that. That website is Interfaith Council Halton, which is HALTON.com, and people can register there.
Awesome. And I also see in the flyer it says they can call 905-849-6000.
Exactly, exactly. So Interfaith Council Halton.com, or the number you just said, the 905 number. And it's also on my website where you can link to register for it. And my website, I have two ways of saying my website. The easier way is to just say meanttobe.today. That's the easier way to say on the radio because my name gets so misspelled, Deidre. RosalindFranken.com. You'd be amazed how many different ways people can spell Rosalind.
Yeah, my name gets mixed up, too, with Deborah often because it's spelled D-E-D-R-A. People think it's D-E-B-R-A.
Yes, exactly. No, but RosalindFranken.com is RosalindFranken.com. So,
awesome, Rosalind.
But, yeah, so, you know, it's just so important to share positive, inspiring stories right now during these times, stories that bring people together, stories that uplift people. It's not an easy time that the world is going through, right?
Right, and you are a proud cancer survivor. That's an incredible thing to live through and to have a positive mindset getting through it and afterwards. So how did you get through that difficult time?
You know, I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to mention when you asked me about what I learned from my parents. My mother went through cancer. Oddly enough, she was 56 when she was diagnosed, and actually today is the date, I remember, because it was January 26, 1983, that she was diagnosed with stage 4 primary peritoneal cancer. And she was given 2 years tops to live with the strongest chemotherapy available in 1983. And when the surgeon told her she had cancer, I mean, this woman survived the Holocaust. She saw her parents and siblings being taken away, never to see them again. I mean, starvation and malnutrition and not knowing if she's going to see, you know, the next day again. And then she gets told she has cancer. I mean, right. It would have been so easy for her to give up, right, to just want to play the victim. But no, instead, Deidre, she said to the surgeon, she said, Hitler didn't get me. My cancer won't get me. I have too much to live for.
Wow.
And with that attitude, she lived for another 21 years. Isn't that incredible?
That's such a like headstrong mindset.
Exactly. So she was when I got my cancer, like you were asking me, I just turned to both my parents because my mother went through cancer. My father survived a massive heart attack and also way outlived the doctor's expectations. And they were my role models. I just adopted that same keep going, never give up attitude that they always role modeled for me. And I said, if they can do it, I can do it. And after everything they went through, if they could persevere, then certainly I could, and I really got my strength, I believe, from them.
That's incredible. So now you get to be a motivational speaker, and you talk to many different audiences. So do you think that their life situation inspired you to be a motivational speaker, or what inspired you to do that?
What inspired me to become an inspirational speaker? Just knowing that so many people are so down or aren't happy in their lives, or they just need a boost. They just need somebody to give them that spark and make them want to continue and move forward and say, hey, you know what? I can do it too. And to me, that is so meaningful. When people come up to me after a presentation and The biggest compliment is when they say, that was so inspiring. And I think, you know, when I started out, I was calling myself more a motivational speaker. And then people didn't come up to me after and say, oh, that was so motivating. The word they kept saying was inspirational or inspiring. So I thought, you know what? There is a difference. There is a difference. And so that's why I identify myself more on the inspirational piece of it.
That's good. There's a difference. I think like motivation is like, all right, let's go, let's get up, let's get motivated. But inspiring might be, it hits deeper. It gets into your soul, it gets into your heart, and it changes you. So that's awesome, and especially to hear people say that and let that stick with you is so great.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody listening who belongs to any groups where they're looking for a speaker to uplift their people, then get in touch with me.
And you also have a book called The A-List, 9 Guiding Principles for Healthy Living and Positive Living. So health is very important, and you wanted to create a healthy lifestyle and write this book. So what was the process of writing this book?
The A-List, 9 Guiding Principles for Healthy Eating and Positive Living. Yes, that was my first book, actually. And that came about because it's, I shouldn't say it's a funny story, but looking back now, it's so different when you look back on it. But I was 39 years old, about to turn 40, got on the scale one day and looked down at the scale and went, oh my God, I was at my heaviest weight. And I thought, how does this make sense? I had survived cancer 10 years earlier. My mother had just passed away from cancer a few months before that day I got on the scale. My dad, I've got, you know, heart disease on my dad's side of the family, and I just stood there going, like, what am I doing? Plus, I had just graduated from university with a master's degree in something called human systems intervention, which is the study of helping people self-learn and change. And I'm a certified coach, and I'm going, who am I to be going out trying to help other people change if I can't even do it for myself? That's like the pot calling the kettle black. And I thought, no, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to help other people, I need to be able to do it for myself. And I took everything I learned about change management in my master's degree, and I applied it to myself and my weight. And that's how I developed those 9 principles that all start with the letter A. That's why it's called the A-List. And it's really about, it's not a weight loss plan so much as how to make choices. It's all about choices. Life is about choices. So from the thoughts that you feed your mind to the food you feed your body, right, to the emotions you feed your soul, it's all about how to feed yourself so that you are healthy and happy. And that's what that whole book is about. It's really a self-help book for people where I just say, look, this is what I did. This is what it worked, you know, it's worked for me. That was in 2004 when I started the weight loss journey, which I had no idea was going to write a book about it at the time, but I have lost the weight and I've kept it off. So obviously it worked. It worked, and I still live by it to this day.
That's incredible. I love seeing transformation stories of people who want to get healthy and see how they lose all the weight, but how they also get better in their mind and in their lifestyle just in general. So that's awesome. What would you say? I know there's a lot of different food trends people like. There's vegan, there's this and that. And what would you say is your favorite kind of thing to stick to? Whether it's plant-based or vegan or vegetarian?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a big believer into each his own, so I respect whatever, you know, other people decide to do. For me personally, I believe in moderation. You know, there's no food groups that I rule out, but I know that, you know, things like sugar are really bad for you for many different health reasons. So I limit my sugar intake quite a bit. I believe in portion control, so that knowing when your body has had enough, and like where you say, like, okay, if I keep, you know, you get to that point where when you're eating a meal and you know there's a point where you know you should stop, but you keep eating because it's just so good, you know? And it's about, again, knowing when to stop and being satiated and saying, okay, you know what, it's not like I can never eat this again. I can take some home, I can eat it tomorrow or whatever it may be. But it's a mindset, and it's really about reprogram. This is what I got these words from a client that I was coaching. I used to do like more like weight loss type coaching, and she said, I asked her, so how am I helping you? How is this helping you, what we're doing together? And she said to me, she was, I can't remember what country she was from, but English was not her first language. But she said it so beautifully. She said, you are teaching me to reprogram my relationship with food. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly it. It's how do you reprogram your relationship with food and yourself? That's really what it comes down to. Because when you have you can have a healthy relationship with food, or you can have a not so healthy relationship with food, you know? And it really also comes down to the relationship you have with yourself. And that's where I really like to help people.
That's so awesome. It's so awesome that you're helping people. And the way that you do it, we all need that and motivation and just practical steps that we can do. And I love that you mentioned earlier, the book you have meant to be about your parents is actually in pre-production for a movie. Can you tell us a little bit about the project? Is it going to be a documentary or a film with actors portraying your parents?
It's going to be a feature film with actors and all that, and I'm going to be in the movie as well. So we have the screenplay. I have a producer, and he's working at, you know, interviewing with directors and investors and things like that. So we're kind of at that stage of the game, and hope to have everything in place over, you know, the next while. And hey, we're still looking for people who might be interested in participating in an amazing movie project. It is going to be an amazing, amazing movie. And I had a big hand in you know, writing and approving the script all the way through. So I know that it's the real story, and that is very satisfying for me as well. I can hardly wait, as you can imagine. Okay. So these things take time, longer than I wanted to, but you know, that's part of the game. That's part it. It must also be happening in the way that it's meant to be. So I'm just waiting to see how it unfolds.
You wanted to be an actress when you were younger, and your parents let you, you know, do your acting, and then you got a bachelor's degree. But you did want to be an actress, and you, I see that you've produced other films and things like that. And so I'm sure this is really exciting that you're still kind of in the entertainment industry. You get to be a part of this movie, so that's really awesome. How can
absolutely. And, you know, even being an inspirational speaker, I get to be on stage, and I get to be a storyteller. So, and I tell the story in a very dynamic, engaging way. So it's still, you know, that performer side of me is in there as well.
That's so cool. I definitely wanted to be an actress when I was younger. Life went a little different, but I still get to interview people and do things like that. So the entertainment industry is still not leaving my heart. It's still with me.
So we have a lot in common.
So how can someone be a part of your film? Are you guys looking just in like the SAG-AFTRA, or is there a way someone can contact you to learn more about the movie and about what you're doing?
Sure. I mean, if they just go to my website, all my contact information is there, at rosalindfranken.com, or if they just look me up, I'll spell it again, R-O-S-L-Y-N. And the last name is Franken, F-R-A-N-K-E-N. And so my website is rosalindfranken.com. And they could look me up. I'm on IMD Pro. If they look up on Amazon, if they just look up any of my book titles, you'll find me there. But for my contact information, yeah, go to my website, rosalindfranken.com.
Awesome. Is there any other upcoming projects or any last words for the audience you'd like to say?
Just aside from those two things, I mean, the only other thing I can mention that I do is I also help people write their own stories because, especially as a result of the pandemic, I mean, people would come up to me after presentations and say, oh, you're so lucky that your parents told you so much about, you know, they told you so many of their stories. And I said, yeah. And they said, yeah, my parents never told me anything. And I said, really? And I said, did you ever ask them? And they're like, well, no. And I said, well, why don't you ask them? And they said, I can't. It's too late because they've passed away. So I'm working with a few clients right now who have stories that they want to tell, whether it's a story they want to tell to the world or they just want to leave their living history to their children or grandchildren. You know, people, as you get older or your kids are young maybe, if you don't have time to sit with them or you don't think they're interested, trust me, at a later time in life, they go like, oh, you know, I wish I would have asked my parents. I wish I would know their stories. So I can help people do that, whether in writing or on video, but just to keep memories alive, keep personal histories alive. It's like a personal legacy that you can leave for other people, for your families, for your friends, or for the world if you have an amazing story, like look what I did with my parents. That's also all on my website.
That's so incredible. It's so great that you're doing that. It's so funny how people never ask their parents what they've been through. We can learn so much. My mom grew up in another country, so I definitely learned a lot from her. A lot of stories to tell, and it's awesome.
Right, and
so
grandparents, they're a wealth of stories.
Yeah.
But they don't realize how important their stories are, or they don't think their stories matter. People, as they get older, they don't think, well, you know, nobody's asking me, and well, you know, nobody's really interested. And I'm like, when I hear them, I love listening to people's stories. I'm going, are you kidding me? These are amazing stories for people to hear, and they just don't realize how much their stories are important and matter and can make a difference in other people's lives. So if they could just know that, then I can really, you know, help them to that next level.
We'll definitely go to rosalindfranken.com, and we'll hopefully hear more stories, and we can't wait for your movie. It's so nice to talk to you tonight.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.